Good morning, everyone. What a pleasure it is to be here with everyone for the 26th episode of the Spin It Social Hour. Thank you for being here. It is a Saturday. I hope everybody has a nice cup of coffee or a cup of tea and is going to get really comfy for this show today because it is going to be a great one. So my name is Stefan Kaplan, and I am the founder of the Spin It Social Hour. And let me tell you a little about myself and the Spin It Social Hour. So I am a social media and visual strategist that has worked with the Pulitzer Prizes, AARP, the Jackson Charitable Foundation, and I work with Sri Srinivasan and the Digi Mentors Group, producing live streams and many other social media events around the world. So in terms of why the Spin It Social Hour, the Spin It Social Hour is a labor of love born out of care and concern for our photo community. Because when this pandemic hit, I decided that I needed to reach out and do something for the photographers at large. It has been a really rough ride, let's face facts. I mean, since the pandemic hit, many people have lost work. Photographers are no exception. And I don't care what level you're at, you are grinding right now, as we say, because the economy is really tough right now. We have a stretch coming up right here that everybody's holding their breath about with the election coming up. So it is a wonderful thing to be able to share with you every week the work of these brilliant photographers, their journey, and all of the great things that they've accomplished in their lives. Now, all levels of photographers, and that is why it is so exciting to have my guests on today, Holly and Jim Soul, because they were introduced to me by a dear friend of mine who's also a neighbor, Danielle, and you will meet her later. But the thing is that, you know, Danielle came up to me one day and she said, you have to meet this couple. You have to see their work actually first. It'll blow your mind. And I get a lot of people telling me a lot of things about photography, but I never turn a blind eye to anything. So I checked them out and I have to tell you, the first time that I saw their work, it just blew my mind, just literally. My jaw dropped and I was like, I have to get them on the show. And their work is Nat Geo quality, in my opinion. So in order to keep this show going, I wanted to let you know about my first sponsor, who has been a steady sponsor, my guiding light in many ways, Emilio Pardo, who's a visionary brand strategist. And we have a show that we produce now called Real Talk, Live from the Barn. Let's take a quick look.
Hi there. Welcome to Real Talk Live at the Barn. My name is Emilio Pardo, and I am so glad you're here. This is a very special place, the barn. So 21 years ago, we built this barn for friends and family, for conversation, for playing, for listening to music. But then slowly and gradually became a place to have a conversation about how to get through life, how to get through the week, how to get through the day. So as you can see, it is filled with memorabilia of different places that we've been and where people have brought us some trinkets from all around the world. But the real magic of this barn is the conversations and the real talk we've had here and the answers that we have found to some of our greatest problems. You see, we're going through three pandemics, a COVID pandemic, an economic pandemic, and a racial injustice pandemic. All three of these are creating havoc on our mental strength, and we need real talk to find real answers. You see, I know about real talk. I'm a cancer survivor, pancreatic cancer, but I'm also a communications practitioner that has helped many companies and organizations find answers and solutions to their problems. Now, we want to open up this barn and have real talk and pair you up with experts that can help us find some answers and tips on how to get through the day and how to get through these pandemics. So, welcome, sit back, pull up a chair, and let's have a real conversation. Let's get started.
Real Talk, live from the barn. A new show will be on the air very soon, and we will be dealing with the economy and the job market. So please look forward to that. I will let everybody know about it, and thank you for tuning in. But now it's time to show you the brilliant work of Jim and Holly Soul. And let me tell you, sit back and enjoy this one because you're going to be amazed. Sorry about that. Okay, here we go. Holly and Jim Soul, no matter where they go, their vacations always include their cameras. Holly started taking pictures with a family camera when she was a small child, beginning a love of photography that never faded. In her college and dental school years, she took pictures of friends and events, but took a long hiatus from photography as she began her dental practice. After marrying Jim, an engineer, they started traveling, hiking, and rock climbing. Along with Jim, Holly started taking photographs again, although instead of people, her new interests gravitated towards nature and wildlife. Together, Holly and Mike have traveled extensively within the U.S. and overseas. Mike has always enjoyed photography, but didn't really embrace it until his first digital SLR in 2005. Since then, he has continued to develop his skills. He enjoys travel photography with his talented wife. Folks, please help me welcome Holly and Jim Soul. Hello, guys.
Hi. Hello.
How are you?
Good. How's everything?
Oh, it's great. How are things in Rhode Island?
Nice.
They're good.
Nice day here.
It's a beautiful
day. Okay. And we're taking you away on your Saturday morning, but let's ask you the obvious question. What do you normally do on a nice Saturday morning other than be on the Spin It Social Hour?
Well, we haven't been traveling much, so.
I know.
It's been very domestic.
Domestic mornings, you know, get up, make breakfast, putter around.
Clean up the house a bit.
You know, stuff like that. If the weather's not good, we'll do some image photo work and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So there's always a backlog.
You guys have so much great work that we're going to show and that we opened the show up with that I have to tell you, I'm sure everybody had the same reaction I did when they just saw that slideshow that I curated for this show. It just took my breath away. I mean, you guys are so ultra talented and obviously have such passion for what you do. And I always am thankful for new photographers being brought into my life to be able to not only know about their work, but to share their work. And that's the most important thing I want to say to our crowd right now, as our viewership builds right now live, is please, folks, if you're watching this broadcast with the Spin It Social Hour with me, Stefan Kaplan, and Jim and Holly, please share this broadcast. Don't just hit like, share it, because when you share it, it amplifies everything and really gets their work and their names out there. So thank you for participating and thank you for helping us all out and our photo community. So, wow. I mean, look at that photo behind you. I mean, what a beauty. I mean, you guys have traveled so many places. It was an amazing experience just curating the work for this show.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We're very humbled to be here. You've had some really amazing photographers on.
Well, I have to tell you, we're going to get your name out there and your work out there. And, you know, the obvious question is, I talked about it briefly in that intro, but I'm going to ask you so everybody can really get the full picture, pardon the pun, is how did you guys get started in photography? You guys can figure out who goes first.
I'll go first on this. I started when I was really small. So, which means that, you know, we're talking back in the film days. We're talking about the little Kodak Instamatic 110 days. Because my parents gave me a camera when I was like 8 years old, one of those little Kodaks. And I took it everywhere, you know, everywhere. We went on vacations. I took it there. And then as I got older, my parents actually gave me a Canon AE-1 when I was 16, and I had that for years and years and years. And then when I went to dental school, I actually worked at a camera store. So as a part-time job to help, you know, pay the bills.
Right.
And so that was where I got started.
Okay. And you, Jim?
Well, I played around with photography a little bit when I was younger. I had a little black and white dark room in the basement and put it around with that. But I really didn't embrace photography as a hobby in the whole until we got our SLRs and right before our trip to Banff, 2005. We decided to go digital SLR. It seemed like it was really taking off at that time. The cameras were really becoming much higher quality.
Oh yeah,
to
the point and shoots and
the early digital, the Sony Mavica with the floppy.
Right. No, I have to tell you. I mean, you know, cameras. I went mirrorless 4 years ago, and with a Samsung NX1. I'm a big Samsung fan, but I have to tell you, the quality is unbelievable. It really makes a big difference. I do miss film. I will not lie. I miss my days in the darkroom. I miss developing film. I used to do it in my bathroom in my studio when I lived in the West Village. I don't miss the chemical smell, but I do miss the thrill of seeing those negatives develop. And seeing magic appear in front of your eyes when you put the paper into the chemicals and see that picture just evolve in front of you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, digital has definitely, you know, changed things a lot. But you guys, I mean, do you guys have a huge, how many lenses and how many cameras do you have? Because, I mean, you do a variety of stuff. Oh, did I just open up like... a can of worms here.
All right. So first of all, we've got to say that we've got a mixed marriage. Jim shoots Nikon and I shoot Canon. And
so separate lenses for everything.
Separate everything by design. By design.
I have a 70-200. She has a 70-200.
Okay. I have a 100-400.
I have a 80-400. Something like that.
I have a 500. He has a 500.
That's really smart, though, because this way there's no squabbles over the lens.
That was by design.
Yeah.
Wow, very smart. You got, you know, leave it to an engineer and a dentist to be very, you know, specific about things. And I want my dentist to be specific about things. That's a good thing. And I certainly want my engineers to be specific about things. So thank you for being specific.
You're welcome.
It's a lot of gear, though. We have a room dedicated.
We
to-
do.
Camera stuff.
You know, it's only the two of us. And so we have a bedroom for camera gear.
Okay. Oh, wow. Camera gear has its own room. That's impressive.
It does. Yeah. It does. And it keeps it clean.
Well, you know, backpacks, tripods, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to tweet that out later. My camera gear has its own room. Jim and Holly.
So it's true. But yeah, I mean, for me, you ask how many cameras. Currently, I have three cameras that I use.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Canon EOS R, because like you, I've gone mirrorless.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I have an EOS RP that's been converted to a full spectrum, so mm-hmm. it allows me to shoot infrared with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got an old Canon 7D that is also infrared converted. And I usually use that with my 500 to go out and shoot surfers when the surf is up.
Ah, surfers. Oh, man. My friend Nick Curry in Monterey would love to see your photos, because Nick was my first guest on the show, actually.
Oh. And,
really, really great photographer who shoots for all the wires. He's documenting the fires right now, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
And Nick surfs, so he would love to see your surfing photos one day.
Yeah.
Hallie takes amazing surf pictures. She's really...
I have one built into the slideshow that you will see here. And as we discuss things, I'm going to show a lot of your work, and we will touch on some of it, but we will also be looking at a lot of it as we discuss things. You know, one of the things that really impresses me so much about Edward's watching. Edward is a huge, we want to give more shout outs on this show. So Edward Leskin is a brilliant photographer who's been doing so much work on the steel industry in Pennsylvania. And I'm going to have him on the show soon one day. And he's a Leica, avid Leica user. Edward asks or says, I have to keep things in a room. My cameras and lenses seem to creep around the house, my wife tells me.
They do. They grow legs. They do, because I'll find, like, I'll be looking for a lens and all of a sudden it'll be downstairs. And that's because I was like using it for a light box shoot and I forgot to bring it upstairs with me.
Right, right. But I have to tell you, here we go with the visual fireworks from you guys, because people are just going, their jaws are going to drop now that the slideshows went by. Now we stay on some real goodies here. So I asked you guys last night when we met, I said, hey, can you pick out some of your favorite photos? A few of them are built in here. We'll touch upon a few. But one of the things that struck me so much is that, Holly, I know that you're a big fan and also really into doing infrared photography.
Yes.
So talk to us about that and tell us, like, about a picture like this that you've taken that is absolutely magnificent.
So I got involved in infrared photography years ago. I stumbled across some pictures of infrared, and I had shot a little infrared film when I was younger. And I just thought, wow, you know, this is cool. I can do it digitally now. So I got an infrared converted camera and I was hooked. And infrared's different. You know, it requires a lot more processing if you're going to shoot it in a raw stage and in order to make it look right. And it also requires you to think differently because, you know, when you're shooting color, you know, green is green, yellow is yellow, red is red. Right. But in infrared, you're looking at the reflectivity of different things. So things that would normally be light colored might all be the same tones in infrared. Mm. So like green grass and green leaves can be made white for black and white. Mm-hmm. But sky will be black and water reflections will be black. Water will be black. So you have to look at things a little differently for that.
Right, right. And you have to, obviously, when you're shooting, you're taking all that into account.
Right.
And that must be very tricky on the mind because, you know, we're used to thinking, at first at least, because, you know, we're used to thinking as photographers in certain ways. And then when you throw on a infrared converter, obviously it's, you know, you then have to look at things even, you know, even more differently.
Right. It's as somebody I know says, it's seeing the unseen.
Mm, that's a good way of putting it. I like that. Yeah. 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 I love when people, you know, play with different gadgets and different toys. Tim Becker is watching. He says, beautiful.
Thank you.
We had Pradney Ahaldupur watching from Silver Springs, Maryland. I also saw Bob, I'm drawing a blank here. We had a bunch of welcomes. Bob Veritone. Sorry, Bob. My apologies. Good morning from New Milford, New Jersey. So we have a nice audience that's watching right now. And I'm sure they're going to really enjoy listening. Okay. I take it that's a friend of yours.
Yes. She's a great photographer as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to look at Sue's work. So there's no doubt about it. But let me go on to it. This is just magnificent. I mean, this is a work of art. It belongs in any gallery anywhere. It belongs in Nat Geo. I hope anybody from Nat Geo would be watching this show either now or on the replay. By the way, the Spin It Social Hour is available on YouTube. I now have a custom URL for it, so you can find Spin It Social Hour with all 26 shows up there. And I have to tell you, these color infrared photos are also gorgeous. Tell us about these.
Well, I don't do a lot of color infrared.
Right.
Because I find it difficult to work with the colors. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always, even when I got done with this, I mean, as opposed to the black and white, which might take me 3 or 4 hours or 5 hours to, hi, Sarah.
Well, give those shout outs, please. Everybody should be acknowledged that helps build the support for the show and the photographers. So Claudia Paul, striking work. Love the infrared. Claudia, magnificent photographer that just did a big series on Mount Sinai on the Frontline Heroes.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yep. So I find color, I find it more difficult to see the color in it. And this was, this is a pond near where we live that I walk to a lot and just to see. And for some reason, this was early spring. And I thought, okay, I am going to give this a try and see what I can do with color. And since I wasn't happy with one color, I figured I'd do all four.
Right. No, it is. They're gorgeous. And I love the way you did it. Sort of like, even though it's a quadruple, you know, a four photo combo, it's sort of like what they call a triptych, you know?
Right. Right. Yep.
But adding one.
Yeah. A quadtic.
What is it?
A quadtic.
A quadtic. Is that really a name?
No, I just make it up. I made it up when I did this.
Let it be known from this point on, folks, we have made up a new name for a quadruple triptych. It's now called a quadtic. Edwin Pagan is watching. Edwin's a great filmmaker. Edwin was a guest on the show. Just so you know, Edwin is part of Seis del Sur, which is Six from the South, a very, very important collective from the Bronx and Spanish Harlem that documented the many, many things over the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Fantastic, fantastic guy, very community-oriented. Hi, Bimal. Bimal's from Cambridge. David Guzman, my very good friend. Anyway, so let's move on here. Wow, I have to tell you, when I saw this, I was in Oregon once, and I was traveling on the Pacific Coast before I was married, before I had a kid, and I was driving along the Pacific Coast, and I came across these miniature Shetland ponies. Now, these aren't miniature Shetland ponies, but I have a photo that reminded me of this, but this in infrared, with the way that horse is galloped up, wow, it just, okay, I'm probably going to buy this from you one day.
Oh, thank you.
It is stunning. It is stunning. Tell us about this.
So we were in Death Valley in January.
Okay.
And this is, you know, before COVID hit. We had heard a little bit about it, but we were out there and we were staying up in Furnace Creek for the second half of our trip. And behind where we were staying, there was a ranch. I mean, it was the ranch at Furnace Creek. And so they did have these horses. I guess they take them for trail rides. Mm-hmm. We had been out in the morning. We had gotten up before first light. We had been out shooting. We came back, had breakfast, and we were thinking about, you know, where on my list of places to go for the day were we going to go? Mm. And I turned around and I said, hey, can we just go and shoot some of these horses?
Oh, man, yeah.
In the little stable yard there.
Yeah, feeling very frisky.
And they were definitely feeling frisky. So, and well, I will say something about this because it's infrared and I can always talk infrared photography. It was actually a really hard shot because shooting into the light with infrared is really difficult. They get a lot of flare, a lot of flare.
Right.
And I was really lucky this came out the way.
You know what? Luck, Holly, I'll always say it, and being in the business, you know, photo editor at the New York Times for 20 years. I now teach at FIT as an adjunct professor, teaching social media with a lot of visuals incorporated, of course. Luck is always part of the game, always. Anybody that says differently, I'll always them on that. You know? So David's wife, Maggie, is watching with him and says that horse's photo is magical. So there you go. There you go. Thank you, David. Thank you for saying that. Hola, Claudia, Edwin says. Okay, we've got a conversation going on here. I like it. So let's see. Oh, man, I tell you, wow. I mean, Nat Geo, hello. Ollie and Jim Soul, you need to write something about them. You need, and I didn't mean to say hello like that, Nat Geo. Pardon my enthusiasm here. But you guys need to know about this couple. Look at this. I mean, the clarity, the balance with all the light, measuring it, of course, with the infrared. This is just stunning. Stunning.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, this is Death Valley.
Death Valley. I mean, what a name for an area, Death Valley, of course, you know, and what beautiful work comes out of it. It's such, you know, it's so powerful to always talk about Death Valley, you know?
It is. It was amazing. Ah, Africa. Yeah.
What is that?
That's Africa.
Africa, okay.
That is Africa. That is at the Ngorongoro Crater. That's a rest stop at the very famous Ngorongoro Crater.
Wow. Stunning. I mean, it's, I'll just keep saying stunning. I'll put stunning up on the screen and just leave it up there because, you know, it just takes my breath away. So Wow. Another one. I'll just keep saying wow too the whole show. This is really fascinating. So this is infrared, correct?
Yes, this is another one of my folk color infrared, as they call it.
Right. I was very careful in curating everything for you guys because I wanted to make sure I had everything in order and that I wasn't just all over the place between the black and white, the infrared, the color. So I tried to make this show really in sync with what you guys do, which, as we talked about yesterday, I didn't think I'd have to do, but you have so much work. I decided I had to go in certain type of order here. And I have to tell you, this photo is beautiful. So that's a wildebeest, correct?
Yes, that is. That again is a Ngorongoro crater. Okay. And that's the wall of the crater behind that reaches up into the sky.
Right, right.
But yeah, those are one of the millions upon millions of wildebeest.
Right. So that's the thing. So where's the flock?
Well, they're all around. In the crater, we were there. I mean, it's always migration time.
Right.
One of the things that I learned was that migration is always happening. The exciting migration time is later on in the year. This was in February. So there were large amounts, but they weren't quite in the crater yet.
Right.
But there were a lot of calves and there were a lot of cows. This was mostly the females, okay, and the calves were in the crater. So, you don't see the big herds.
You know what? In this case, it played out beautifully because that one wildebeest right there with the other few sparse, spread out in the background with that sky that obviously the infrared plays with and the crater in the background there, the ridge of it, you know, just made for a magical, magical moment. What was Edwin saying there? Zone system, tone quality, chromatics, amazing black and white infrared.
Thank you, Edwin.
And Edwin is quite the accomplished filmmaker and everything else and knows his craft. So thank you, Edwin, for chiming in about that. It's a pleasure to have you here. I hope we can get together soon, buddy. So moving on here, working with flowing water, rivers, and the light, and balancing everything along with the, you know, the water coming down the stream here, takes it's pretty much you're experimenting a lot right here.
Always you know, for everything that you know to do, mm-hmm, there's always something that you're going to change and it's going to create something new, and right, sometimes it's exciting and sometimes it's not.
Right. Well, let me tell you something. I line my entire house with your photos. This right here is a cross between feeling like you're in, well, obviously there's sand dunes. But where is this? And tell us how this unfolded, because this meat belongs in a museum.
That is the Mesquite Flats sand dunes in Death Valley.
Okay.
When we went to Death Valley, we spent a few days down in the sand dunes. We spent our mornings in the sand dunes. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I did a lot of research on shooting in the sand dunes and, you know, light and things like that. Right. And one of the goals that I had, somebody was asking about pre-visualization, and this was something that I had in my mind's eye, was this play of dark and light, you know, waiting till the sun came high enough so that you had that side light.
Right.
That really threw the deeper parts of the dunes into darkness and yet lit up the higher parts of the dunes. So wow. It was a matter of finding the appropriate curves and shapes and waiting for the light to do its thing.
I am just so captivated by this photo. The swirl of the light with the dunes, with the texture, the tones. I took a photo of something similar in the snow in Ramapo Valley, where I live here, where the light and the shadows from tree branches were hitting the brilliant, the bright, bright snow on a very sunny day. And it played out the same way, but not with infrared. Now you've got me interested in infrared. And I'm not going right now in this economy, I'm not buying any more toys, but it will be something in the future that I'll have to look into, because this is fascinating to see. And bravo.
Thank you.
Okay, let's just go on and on here. Another beauty, another sand dune photo. Same spot, Holly?
Yep. Yes, it was exactly. That was, again, the Mesquite Flat sand dunes.
So question for you, when you're out shooting this type of stuff and you're in the sand dunes, you've made the trek out there, obviously, maybe not obviously. Do you have a guide? Do you go out alone?
Well, most of the time I try to do it alone. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of research. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going, what we might be seeing, how to get there,
okay.
Things like that.
Okay.
For places that are less accessible, we might take a photo tour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean a tour, by the way.
Yeah,
I know
we have hired a guide in the past,
right.
long time ago. Once we hired a guide when we went out to Canyonlands.
Right.
But most of the time, I just do it on my own.
She does a tremendous amount of research before these trips really gets a great package together for us. Every morning, she'll start out the day and just say, well, these are the places we can go today. These are our options. What should we try?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm sure you guys are extremely, the way most photographers are that do this kind of work, extremely organized and make sure you have all the things you need when you go on these trips, everything from enough water to this to that. I mean, of course, obviously, you're going in the middle of these areas. You have to be prepared. What's like the top three most important things when you go on an excursion like this? Because when people start traveling again, they might want to go to some of these places. What are your top three tips in terms of what has to be done no matter what?
You have to make sure you're safe.
Okay.
That's number one. You make sure that you can get to where you're going, you know your physical limitations, and you can get back from where you're going from. That for me is the first thing that I plan into it.
And you want to be comfortable. You want to make sure you have the appropriate clothing.
Right.
Even in a place like this, it gets quite warm during the day, but before sunrise, it's very cold. So you want to make sure you have
layers.
Enough clothing on to stay warm, or you're not going to be comfortable shooting.
The other thing is, and I guess maybe it all comes around to the same thing, but nothing, your life isn't worth a shot.
I've always said that.
You don't back up to a cliff. You always look behind you. You always look around you.
I've always said that. I never take chances that way. It's funny, as I've gotten older, my perspective with heights is not what it used to be.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, we were recently in Acadia. And in Acadia 2 years ago, we were there with our son. And we were on this area, I forget the name of it, where they have these two huge boulders that are literally on the tip of the ledge. You know where I'm talking about?
Yeah. I don't remember it, but I know what it is. Yeah.
It is these two huge boulders. Yeah. One is below, one is above.
Yeah, I think it's
above. And the drop it just makes you like go, whoa. What is it? David says, have Holly and Jim ever done photos at the salt flats?
No. Sadly,
someday.
That would be.
So, David, there's your answer. They have not, but they will hopefully
one day. So, by the salt flats, does he mean Badwater Basin? I mean, there are other salt flats. That's a good question. We have been to Badwater Basin.
Okay, I'm sure David will leave another comment. He's very thorough and he's a very dear friend. So, but I was saying that the, I lost my train of thought for a second. The boulders in Acadia, you know, looking down from there, I was like, whoa, man. So I was trying to get the right angles and stuff. I said, you know what? I'll get the best angle I can. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And the worst part is he was 12 at the time, but our son sort of dipped out of the picture for a minute, pardon the pun again, and made his way around somewhere. Now I know at 12, he's smart enough to be careful, but it made my heart stop.
Yeah, sure.
You look at that dive and you look at those boulders and I just yelled out his name and thank God he was somewhere else behind him. So, you know, yeah, kids can give you a heart attack. So David said, I'm sorry, he said Utah.
No, we haven't
been there. No.
Okay.
On the list.
It is on the list.
It's a big list, though.
So where we are right now, we're at the 10:34 mark. We have I always go to about 11:15, but we're not getting into time elements here because I want to show everything. I wanted to bring on somebody that's very near and dear to you, I know, and who introduced us. So she could ask you a question, say hi, and, you know, add in a little energy here. So let's bring on my friend Danielle from
Hi, Danielle. Hi, guys. Oh, energy.
Energy.
Good morning. Yeah, Hallie and I went to high school together.
Wow.
And I actually haven't, I reconnected with Hallie on Facebook through friends years ago and have become a big fan of her artwork. I haven't actually spoken to Hallie, and this isn't even in person, but it's the closest thing, unfortunately, we have now during COVID. But hi, Hallie.
It's been
maybe 40 years. I hate to date us since we saw each other in person, probably, since I've never gone to a high school reunion.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're very silhouetted. Do you have a light, or can you just turn a little away from that background? I didn't realize how bright it was going to be. There you go.
Better?
Perfect. Much better.
Okay.
Much better.
Anyway, so, you know, I am not a photographer. I know very little about the technical aspects of photography, but I've always been amazed by, to me, it's kind of a mystery. There's so much technical aspects that go into photography that I don't understand, whether it's, you know, lenses and settings on the camera. It seems like daunting to me. And you get these shots, especially the ones of animals in motion. I just can't even imagine. How do you get prepared for that? How do you know what lenses to use? You must have to wait for long periods sometimes, I guess, with cameras on tripods and just waiting for that magical moment. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that, how you decide in advance what camera you're bringing, what lenses, how do you even know?
Well, when we go on a trip like that, like to Yellowstone, or when we went to Africa or things like that, a lot is waiting. You're right. A ton of it is waiting. A little bit of research goes a long way into knowing animal habits and to understand sometimes what they'll do. So that goes into it. So you tend to know, okay, so some animals will be more active at this time of day than other time of day. And you know that they, like in Yellowstone, they might be in like Hayden Valley or Lamar Valley. And so you try and to find that out. But a lot of it is a waiting game. And for most wildlife photography, the bigger your lens, the better off you are, because you want to stay far away.
Right.
So.
And in terms of setting, you know, you start trying something and you learn as you go.
A lot of trial and error.
Yeah, it is.
What strikes me also about a lot of your photography, Hallie, whether it's something like this image here with the dunes, or whether it's animal photography, you have a really incredible sense of composition. That allows the eye to move around a photograph, which I find just beautiful. I mean, I don't know much about infrared, but I've seen, you know, lots of your photography, whether it's black and white, color, and you just have a real eye for composition.
Going back
to that shot Stefan showed earlier of the wildebeests, you had one wildebeest in the foreground leading back to another wildebeest in the middle ground, and then drawing your eye back to the scattered ones in the background and up into the sky. So I don't know if you have any art training beyond, you know, just your own instinct, but you do a good job with composition.
Thank you. No, I mean, I know you're an artist, and so you see that, but honestly, you do. And, but honestly, no, I've actually never taken an art class at all. Mm-hmm. And I was horrible at art in high school, and I got away from it as soon as I could. I was like, oh, this is, I don't draw well. I don't, you know, a lot of that's
probably why you are drawn to photography. You don't need to draw. The nature is there drawing it for you. You just have to bring out the best of it with your technical aspects, which I guess is your strength.
That's right. Well, I like that. Thank you very much. That's a great observation. Yeah. Great, not observation. That's a great point. So, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry, please.
No, I was going to say one of the things that drew me to printmaking in college was I always was I was never satisfied with my painting in college. As much as other people may have praised me, I personally was never that pleased with my results. And when I started printmaking, there was a lot of technical aspects in printmaking that I could really enjoy experimenting with. And get different images that didn't rely necessarily on my draftsmanship, my ability to draw. I understand maybe how that can be so appealing, all the technical aspects of photography. Maybe one day I will take some advice from Stefan and get my first camera that's not just an iPhone camera, because that's all I use.
Yeah, well, I'm guilty of that. Yeah, being in social media, I'm guilty of that too. But I always say what Holly said earlier, get the picture, you know, get the picture. Mm-hmm. So, Danielle, I can't thank you enough for introducing me to these two incredibly talented photographers and now friends. And this is the power of social media. You know, you told me about them. I connected with them. And here they are. And we're going to talk some social media with them very soon about how certain people they've met along the way. And how they connected the dots. So, Danielle, thank you very much for coming on.
Good to see you, Danielle. Welcome. Thank you very much.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Okay, bye. You can stay there if you want. So, I have to tell you, it's just beautiful connecting the dots. And then we get to this. And let me take one step back, because here is you, Holly, taking a photo, obviously, in an ice cave. And then we get to this beauty, but I want you to talk about this, because this goes even a step beyond infrared. This goes a step beyond all the other tricks that can be involved in creating stuff. And this is a composite, right, of three images?
It is. We did some bracketing for this, two over, two under. It's challenging lighting. This was actually during a photo tour we did. In Iceland, but
wow,
yeah, with he'll kill us for not remembering his name.
from
Australia, we're just totally having a brain cramp right now. Remember it afterwards.
We'll remember it shortly, and we'll say it.
You're talking about who I was trying to connect with?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not South Africa from Australia.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Different continent, but it's okay.
Different continent. Sorry about that. So I was traveling around the world with you all night putting this show together. So I don't know where am I this morning?
So right now we're in Iceland.
We're in Iceland right now. Okay, thank you for bringing me back to Earth.
So this is just an HDR where you're trying to get more dynamic range by combining exposures, and really that's all we did here. We set up the tripod. We actually had a friend trigger the timer for us. We got outside and posed for the camera. And after that, it's all just work in Photoshop to blend the image.
Yeah, but what fun, what creativity, and what beautiful surroundings to do it in. What better place to do a composite of three photos than Iceland in the ice cave? Wow. I mean,
it was a spectacular morning. It was really special.
Yeah, I get, you know, I'm going to say it, right? That is really cool. Okay. So moving on here, tell us, I mean, how long did you spend? I know it was a guided, it was a tour, but did the guide have to throw everybody out of the ice cave, because they would have had to drag me out of there?
No. Well, so actually I've been to Iceland twice.
Okay.
This was actually for my very first trip to Iceland. And when we went there, it was really hard because sometimes there were a lot of groups in the cave at the same time. So you only have a specific amount of time you can spend.
Okay.
And you can only do this in the winter months, obviously, because during the summer months, it becomes water.
Right.
But I got lucky because we were there during a time where one big group was leaving, and while one group leaves, another group can't come in. Mm. So I had a short period of time where there was nobody in that spot there.
Cool.
So again, this actually is probably a composite of five images taken for different exposures.
Oh man, it's so much, must be so much fun working on that, on these things. Speaking of work and curiosity about everything that you do, I'm going to bring on my co-producer, Jonathan Borstein, to say hello. He drives the car behind the scene. Acknowledge Jonathan and also let him ask you a question. Good morning, Jonathan.
Morning, Jonathan. Good morning.
My question would be, where have you been that you would like to go to most to take your photographs?
Where haven't we been?
I don't want to go back to every place again and again. It's just so many places to see, and
I'd
not
love
enough time and money.
I know. You know, part of us wants.
What's that, Jonathan?
Usually, people who travel have, you know, like to see almost inaccessible spot that you'd like to go to. And I was curious if you have that.
Oh, and almost inaccessible.
Ah, okay. Okay.
You know, it's not that it's almost inaccessible, but we were hoping, actually, we were planning next year, but it's not going to happen now. We were hoping on a trip to go to Patagonia and Easter Island. So Easter Island would have been that kind of inaccessible spot. There are a lot fewer inaccessible spots. I'd love to go to Antarctica and go to see some of the icebergs there and the penguins and everything, but that's not going to happen.
Hallie doesn't do well in the big waves.
And so there's...
The boat ride out would kill her.
So that's an inaccessible spot that will forever be inaccessible.
Okay. Yeah, that could be rough. Jonathan, tell us a little about yourself before we say goodbye.
I am a full-time flaneur, sometime writer, and part-time tech.
There you go. And my co-producer, thankfully. All right, Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay. All right. So always acknowledge the incredible help that I get from Jonathan. It's a blessing to have him help me behind the scenes to manage the banners, the tickers, the questions. By the way, folks, please share this broadcast. Welcome to the Spin It Social Hour with me, Stefan Kaplan. And welcome to our guests today, Holly and Jim Soul from Rhode Island, world-class travelers and photographers. And please, if you have any questions, lend your questions to the show. Just put them in on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. We're taking everything live. Don't be shy and ask everybody. Ask Holly and Jim and us in general any questions you'd like. And please say hello. So let's move on here. And another composite or a beautiful shot of ice?
A single shot of ice.
A single shot of ice. I have to tell you, I looked at this and I looked at it before I went to sleep last night. And I have to tell you, it is a really wild shot.
It could give you nightmares.
It could. It reminds me of a scene from Alien.
Okay, now I might not sleep.
No, but it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Thank you. But it's just really one of those wickedly wild shots. That's all. And, it's just the blues are just wow.
Yeah, the blues are amazing there.
So here comes a question from me. So when you're out shooting, and I think this is Jim.
No, that actually isn't. That's me.
Oh, that's you. Okay. I took a chance. And who is this?
That's me shooting Jim.
That's you shooting Jim. Right, because I saw your watermark there. So my question is, how do you like determine, you know, working together on this stuff? Where's you're at quite a distance here. So you guys have to take a lot of time to do these day trips.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. It's sometimes we'll start first thing in the morning. Mm. Sometimes we'll take food with us for the whole day and lots of water.
Right.
And we'll go from place to place, and then we might not get back till, you know, and have dinner somewhere.
Well, here's the question I wanted to ask, actually, given that I had written it down in the banner so I don't forget it. There's a lot going on here in producing a show. Given that you are both so talented, how do you guys collaborate on photographs? And is there ever any competition?
Well, there's always competition, I suppose. But generally, we both shoot whatever images we take. And when we come back and try to put together a web page or some sort of presentation, we will actually put all of our images together in one big folder and we'll go through them together and say, okay, yes, we both had the same shot of this, but I kind of like yours better.
Okay.
So we'll include that one. And sometimes we'll include both. So it's a collaborative effort. We just get together and we help each other out. We try to say, well, you know, I like this image of yours, but maybe if you did this, tweak this little bit of it, it would be better.
And we want to call attention to the fact that we're running a banner. So please, everybody, make sure you follow Holly on Instagram. Holly does more work on Instagram than Jim. We'll talk about this in a bit. And be sure to check out Holly_Soul. And also check out Jim and Holly's work at MikeAndHolly.com. Now, explain that one.
Well, my name is actually James Michael. Michael is my middle name.
Okay.
And a lot of people call me Mike.
Okay. So have I never even bothered to ask that, and maybe I'm a bad host that way.
No, that's fine. A lot of people call me Jim. A lot of people call me Mike. I've gotten used to being called both. It's fine.
Okay. It sounds like that old commercial or that old thing where you can call me.
Right. Exactly.
I'm dating myself here severely, but
well, we got it. So
yeah,
we got it.
You're not dating yourself, though.
So who is this? Is this you guys? And did you set up a tripod for this one?
No. This was one of those. I was waiting for this picture. The light was coming just the way I wanted it, and these people were walking into my picture.
Oh, wait. There's just people walking into your picture in the sand dunes?
Oh, people walk all over the sand dunes.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, I'm not going to wait for them to walk out, because by the time they leave, the light's not going to be what I want. So I'm going to use them.
Well, I have to say, it's the way you said that. It was like, you know, and then these people just walked into my photo in the middle of the sand dunes. It was a great delivery.
We're so far away. You know, it's not like it's our sand dunes.
Right.
It's
I know.
Far away that people don't even realize, if they care,
that
you might be taking a picture of it. So
that's right.
You know, it
just played out very well at the moment. So I came across this goodie. I really do a lot of digging in all the work that photographers do to prepare for this show every week. And it's always a pleasure of mine to use my photo editing background to put together these slideshows. And this, wow, I was like, holy cow, that's a stealth bomber and an Air Force jet.
That's exactly what we thought. So we were in the dunes, and it was our very last morning in the dunes.
Right.
And on the first half of our trip. And I look up, and Mike said something, and I look up, and there's a stealth bomber. And the jet that's either doing whatever that specialized jet is doing with it.
Yeah. Wow. Just amazing. I mean, I love the way they're, you know, the jets at the top, the stealth bomber is on the bottom, and the lighting's just perfect because of the sky, that blue sky. Wow. That's a cool shot, man. That is wicked, wicked.
One of those things that makes me glad I've been doing this for as long as I have, because I was able to change and dial in my settings from what I was shooting to that really quickly.
So I take it you should never leave a van in the middle of melting ice and wake up the next day and find it frozen. Is that what this is?
Well, yeah. So on my first trip to Iceland, we were headed out. That's the very southeastern part of Iceland.
Okay.
And we were we were driving there to see the very famous mountain that's out there, and Vesterhorn, thank you. And but on our way out there, we took a side trip around that part of the peninsula, and we came across that van.
Oh, so the van was just there.
The van was just there.
Abandoned.
It just abandoned. Yeah, because that's not going anywhere.
No, now, it's not going anywhere.
When Mike and I went back 3 years later, that van was, I don't know, we didn't actually go down there, did we? That van might not be there anymore.
Wow.
I would assume it's gone. Yeah, but maybe. Yeah, it was just there. And so it was the group I was with, there were three other photographers with me and the person who was driving us around.
Okay.
And we made him stop. And we spent time, all of us spent time just shooting the van.
It's definitely one of those unusual moments that you can't pass up. I mean, a van in the middle of nowhere, frozen solid, just wonder and hope that everybody got back safe.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
you got to figure somebody thought, well, because in Iceland, a lot of people will drive along and they'll stop and sleep on the, you know, pull over to the side of the road and they'll sleep. But, you know, apparently they got stuck.
Right. Now, I have to tell you, pouring through your work and pouring through a lot of your stuff on Facebook and everywhere that I curated all this stuff from, you're probably like, wow, this guy really goes digging in our lives here. But I have to tell you, man, hats off to you guys. You also stay in great shape. Jim, I want to know what your diet is, man. You're like ripped. I didn't want to embarrass you, so I didn't pull the ripped photos.
Thank you.
Wow, man, you're like, I mean, you're more ripped than some bodybuilders I've seen when I used to work out years ago. I mean, you are in tip-top shape. Obviously you take great pride in being able to scale a lot of these rocks and other things and stay in shape, but holy mackerel, man, you are amazing.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. Fitness is one of the big hobbies. So we try to stay in shape. Yeah. So when things come up, like scaling the side of a cliff, we're in the shape to do it.
Yeah, and Holly's in great shape too, I have to tell you. I mean, look at that photo. I mean, to get up those rocks, you have to be. So hats off.
Very adventurous.
Hats off to you guys for beautiful photos.
Thank you.
Beautiful photo. I love that scenic overlook there that Jim's be in front of. Wow, gorgeous.
Acadia.
How do you like? Well, isn't that funny that I bring that up and there it is?
Yep. That's Precipice Trail.
Yeah.
Wow, just love it, man. And okay, I had one. Sorry. Man, I tell you, you are amazing. I'm going out and exercise today because you are incredible that way. So, but you have to be to do this stuff, and that's great. I adore this photo of you too. That is such a cool and great pose to do in the middle of a road, you know, like that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
That was a fun shot.
That was a great shot.
So cute. It's so cool. Now, was that a tripod or did somebody drive up and took
a tripod? Oh, no, that was a tripod. We didn't see anybody for hours on that road.
Yeah, I would imagine you don't see some people on a lot of these things. You know, I love this photo. I put this in there because it reminds me of the eye that I get from everybody whenever I'm taking pictures.
Yeah.
Yes, they weren't happy that we were taking pictures. I'm not sure why, but.
Yeah, and here's another wildebeest shot. We're going to roll through some of these now because the time is of essence here in one way. Beautiful, beautiful shot. Infrared?
No, that's actually black. That was just a conversion to black and white.
Wow. Wildebeest in the water, conversion on an extremely bright day, obviously.
Yeah.
Wow, magic, man, magic.
Thank you.
Absolute magic. You. And now, you know, I'm not big on it because I'm more of a free floater and it's just inherent and built in my photography DNA. But, you know, a lot of people always preach about the rule of thirds, and this quickly made me think of the rule of thirds, you know?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it does. I mean, he's kind of in the upper left third, his head falls on the third line.
Yeah, the rule of thirds being, if anybody who doesn't know offhand, it's always using the corners of photos and also lining things up on certain perspectives, angles and things in the grid, as we call it. But we'll get into that on a more technical show. Let's go through the beautiful work here. One of my, so one of my favorites. I adore horses, and a very dear friend of mine, Angela, who lives in California, does too. So I included quite a few photos for Angela of your beautiful horse photos. She's somebody who rescues horses, helps horses, is a big animal advocate in California. I grew up with her. And what a beauty. What a beauty. But Jim, I had to pick one of your favorites. I asked you for a favorite, and I know this was one. Wow. Okay. So you saw a stealth bomber one day, and you had to replicate it with an actual living creature?
This was on the Pacific Coast Highway. This was some time ago. We were actually just wrapping up a vacation where we were just doing some photography along the coast there.
Right.
And we were driving back and we were saying, wow, it was really great. You know, the only thing we hadn't seen was a California condor. Wouldn't it be great?
Oh, man. So
we pulled over to take a break on the side of the road and there they were.
Oh, my God.
This particular bird, we're standing on the wall that overlooks this parking. Well, it's a parking area wall overlooking the cliff. And we're standing waiting for the birds to come around, and right behind us, it comes rising right up behind us at eye level. Just right there.
I get chills just looking at this because I know it's one of those moments where, see, this is where training and years of experience come into play, because so many people would be stunned that they may miss the moment, but you nailed it. I mean, this is the moment. I mean, totally spread out in the beautiful blue sky. I mean, wow. And what lens did you, do you remember what lens you had on?
You did 400.
I might have had the 70 to 200 on.
70 to 200, that's right, you did.
Okay.
And wow. I think I quickly whipped it out to 70 and did my best.
Wow, man, you nailed it, man. I nailed a shot like this of an eagle, of a bald eagle in Vancouver once.
Nice.
But not spread out like this, more on an angle and everything. But this is just perfection. Because you want that span to really show how long it is. And
huge. Yeah, second biggest bird in the world. Yeah, they're huge.
Please tell me this has been published somewhere.
No.
Oh, come on. Nature magazine, Nat Geo, find these two great photographers and please get to know them. I'll keep saying that over and over. So this is one of your favorites, Holly. And I really, really wanted to show this because so many photos, but yet here's a beautiful cabin with some beautiful foliage around it in infrared. Why do you say this is one of your favorites?
You know, it's just something about the simplicity mm-hmm. and the beauty of it that, you know, I always go back to it as one of my favorite photos. And, you know, it's a simple little shed behind my neighbor's house. Okay. And it was just, the lighting was good. It was just...
just has a homey feel to
it. Yeah, it feels accessible. You know, some photos, they feel like, okay, well, you know, they're on travel and they give you great memories and they were so much fun. But, you know, this is home mm-hmm. or near home.
Right. I'm just checking the stream for a second because something struck me as unusual. And I just wanted to make sure that everything was going fine here. And it is, because I see myself on camera. So no problem. Always got to check things. You never know when things get disconnected in live streaming. I've become a live stream producer and director. I, as you saw with the opening, I also direct another show for a colleague of mine who's been a guiding light for me. And I do a lot of work on many other productions. So you have to keep track of all this stuff. So, but it is gorgeous. It is beautiful. It is the simplicity sometimes of that moment of a photograph like this that it's just so beautiful, period. It doesn't have to be complex all the time, and it doesn't always have to have 80 million elements in it, right?
Exactly.
Right. No, beautiful. I love it. Quickly about this one. What were you working on here? It's
gorgeous. I had a very simple picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, you know, it's a flower. It was, you know, just kind of blah. And what? I had seen somebody doing something similar. And okay. I just started playing with Photoshop and doing some, you know, rotations and things like that.
Okay.
And, came up with that.
Sorry.
So.
Yeah, no, I hit the button by mistake. Sorry about that. Itchy trigger finger.
That's okay.
I love owls, and Jim, I have to tell you, your animal photos, I know that Holly's more into landscapes, and you do, oh no, I'm sorry, this is yours, Holly.
Oh, it's mine?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Mike's.
I'm really glad, actually, I never am one to show photos with watermarks, but I'm actually glad because I'm showing so much of your work, and it's so much of a combination, that I'm actually glad you have them in there so faint so I can see that. Not that it matters, you're married, and I'm sure you don't mind.
No.
But this is a, oh my God, stunning. I love the eyes, I love the, owls are fascinating, aren't they? A neighbor of mine across the street had one that perched itself on her door, over her door one day, and it was a baby. And I came, she brought me over quietly to see it, and I was like, just, I was just so captivated by it. I didn't even take a picture, believe it or not.
Wow. That can happen. Sometimes it's about being there, not
taking. It is, and I'm learning that. You know, I'm learning that in my older age. Another gorgeous, beautiful setting here. One of Holly's photos. Gorgeous. The sun and the sunset. Absolutely beautiful. We have the northern lights here, obviously. Wow. The northern lights are everything that they're always built up to be. There's no boasting about the northern lights. You have to boast as much as you can.
Yeah. That's a cold night.
Yeah. But this photo here, I mean, talk about nature honeymoon photo. This is like the lion version of the dating game here. It is just so perfect. I mean, the way that lion is up a little and the other one's just looking at it with his gaze in its eyes. What a great moment.
It was a cool moment. It was one of those, we waited a while for that moment.
Oh, man. So how far are you from the lions when you're doing these photos?
20.
200-300 feet.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're in a safari vehicle.
Right.
So we're far enough away.
Right. Gorgeous animals. Absolutely. I tell you, you so appreciate nature when you see it up close. When we were in Acadia 2 years ago, my son and I took not a wrong turn, but we did a little adventure trail, and we ended up seeing a moose that was in the water bathing.
Oh,
wow!
Yeah, I didn't have a long lens that day because I can't carry everything with the family everywhere. But it was a moment to once again just be in the moment.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, and just enjoy seeing the beautiful light hitting this gigantic moose. You don't realize how big a moose is until you're even relatively close to one.
Yeah, they are big.
They're massive.
They are absolutely
massive and stuff. And here's another winner. Wow, look at that, man. I mean, oh, man, I'm so glad I've met you guys.
And we're glad we met you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And this photo here reminds me, I was telling my co-producer, Jonathan, right before we went on the air, that this photo reminds me, it looks like, I always do a thing on Facebook where I say, you know, what do you see and what do I see? This reminds me of fingers and toes.
Yep.
Oh, so okay, I'm on point. Yeah.
No, you're on point for me. That's what it kind of reminded me of.
Yeah, I see fingers and toes and bunions. So, but what a great photo. And okay, wait a minute. Let's stop the presses here. Wild moment where this leopard, right?
Yep.
Is scaling down from the tree and getting ready to jump. Is that what's next?
Exactly.
Wow. So did the person driving the van or the Jeep decide to make tracks?
We had been sitting there watching this leopard sleep in the tree for
hours. Waiting for it to do this.
Nailed it.
We watched and waited, and when it moved over, we were pre-focused, pre-visualized, everything that you could we were pre'd, and we just waited.
Nailed it. Another beautiful shot here. Where are we here?
Iceland.
This is Iceland also.
Wow.
This is at Vik. This was up on the, by the White House.
I don't remember the exact name of this place, but another stop in Iceland.
I need to get to Iceland. I really do. One day we're going, no doubt about it, or I may have to go on my own. But because I'll probably be like taking so many photos, it'll be too much for everybody. But I have to tell you, I wanted to quickly talk about some social media aspects here. So I know that you're present on Instagram, Holly. I know that, Jim, I know that you actually make a point on Instagram that you don't put everything up there for certain proprietary reasons. Tell me your thoughts about social media. Tell me your thoughts about Instagram, because we were talking the other day, all three of us, about Jennifer Sinclair and Mashable and the fact that Mashable lifted one of her photos with the whole post, embedded it in an article, and things like that. And Holly, you chimed in about the fact that, you know, it's gotten to the point where if somebody's going to lift something, hopefully they'll do the right thing and credit you. But there's so much to this. Briefly, what are your thoughts about social media and posting your stunning work online?
Well, I think it depends on how people use it. If someone does use your image, mm-hmm. In the Volvo case, which is the big thing that's stopping me from putting more work up on Instagram. Okay. Volvo is just taking all publicly displayed images on Instagram as being open for use to take for their commercial uses. So
That's not cool. That's not cool.
Yeah. So that's a problem. I hope they really lose that case. I haven't been following that closely, but I know they're in court over it.
Yeah. I hope they do too. In Jennifer Sinclair's case, the thing that turned me off so much was the fact that they had approached this photographer. They had asked her. She said no. Then they offered her a measly $50, which is insulting, and then still went ahead and used the whole post. So there's still legal aspects to this whole thing, and that's a whole show in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I urge people to actually go to my friend Robert Kaplan's podcast, The Photo Brigade, and a shout out to my boy Robert Kaplan, and also check out his podcast that he did on rights and royalties and Jennifer Sinclair and other things. Great in-depth discussion. Robert Kaplan, C-A-P-L-I-N. Sorry, Robert, the other version of my spelling of my name, Kaplan. And check out that podcast. It was really interesting. I'll be getting into things like that one day, but not today. So this is interesting. Jonathan popped on. Something's going on with his cue here. Anyway, he might be signaling me that we're coming to the end here. But I wanted to thank you for being here. I wanted to extend a huge thanks for being here, for sharing your work with the world. And I hope that it pays dividends for you guys. And I hope that this will live on YouTube. You can certainly circulate it and let people know about it. So, you know, I'm just thankful. Claudia says, Robert is another great photographer and does a lot for the community. Yes, Robert Kaplan does a lot for the community. And Robert Kaplan was the one that gave me the energy, the spirit, and everything else to do this show, because now 26 shows in, I'm amazed. I'm still like, wow. I hope that I can go on with this show without, because of COVID. I will go on despite hopefully one day soon, but I hope everything gets back to semi-normal. I don't think we're ever going to be in a state of normal again. I think we're going to be a new normal, but it's okay. We'll adapt and we'll all take care of each other and be there for each other, hopefully. And hopefully we'll have, we'll have a new way soon. I'll leave it at that. Hopefully we'll have a new way soon. But thank you once again. Any parting words that you'd like to share with anybody, please, once again, let's show Holly's Instagram thing on the bottom there, her handle or the website. Any parting words, you guys?
We just want to say thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. It's amazing to be here, and we appreciate it. And it's been great to get to know you. And thank you.
My hat's off to you. I got a haircut yesterday, so I'm still not. It hasn't grown in properly sometimes, so I kept my hat on. But hats off to you guys.
Thank you very much.
I like your hat.
Thank you. It's my favorite one. So, but anyway, I'm gonna just stay off for 1 second. I'm going to do some promos here, and then I'll come back to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Hold on. I'll be right back. So, folks, this has been another edition of the Spin It Social Hour. Today it was with Holly and Jim Sowle, S-O-W-L-E, from Rhode Island. Please check them out and get to know them even better. They have a lot more work online. I just touched the surface, or scratched the surface, as they say. But let me get to some promos and other things that I need to get to here. First, let me tell you about my next week's guest. I'm really, really excited to bring on the legendary Gary Hirshhorn. Wow, I'm thrilled. I'm a big fan of Gary's work. Worked with Reuters for many years. Has done so much other work out there. I call him Mr. New York City Skyline, because when there's a photo to be nailed of the New York City skyline, Gary's there. He is an expert at getting to know the storms, when they're arriving, the time of day. He's genius quality, in my opinion, with his photography. It is an honor to have him on next week. So please tune in next week, Saturday, October 3rd, 10 a.m., for another edition of the Spin It Social Hour with Gary Hirshhorn. Gary, it'll be a pleasure having you on. So let's jump to some other promos. Before we do that, actually, oh my God, I almost forgot about my photo of the week. And I'm going to tone it down here. Sorry, we were on a very high pattern here with everything else. But I wanted to get to this, and I wanted to acknowledge, sorry, I'm going to go right here and find, I apologize deeply, folks, for missing this. And I lost it, and shame on me. But this is, and I will put it in the comments afterwards. I have lost the photographer's name here, and I never do that, and I apologize. An amazing photograph that was taken during the, of RGB, of RB, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg, when she was lying in state at the Capitol and the Supreme Court. I have to tell you, this is a magnificent photograph. If my co-producer did a quick Google search for Ruth Bader Ginsburg and photos of Justice Ginsburg lying in state, maybe perhaps he could find a quick name and put it in a banner. If not, I will acknowledge it in the comments later. Incredible photograph here. May she rest in peace forevermore. So going on now to some other promos here. Please tune in tomorrow for Sri Sunday NYT Read Along with Sri Srinivasan, where every week a community of journalists and many, many people around the world get together to read the New York Times and talk about news and many other things media related. Sri's been doing this for 5 years. It's amazing. And I have to tell you, it's always an honor to be part of the NYT Read Along community and to work with Sri on many projects. Tomorrow, his guest is the president of the Greater Commerce, Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce, Rhode Island's largest private sector business. How do you like that? I have on Jim and Holly Sowle from Rhode Island, and tomorrow Sri has the president of the Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce. And I'm going to make sure that she knows about you guys through Sri tomorrow. So hopefully we'll get you better known there. So that is one show. The next thing that I wanted to quickly tell you about, it's very important given this economy right now, learn from some of the best. On October 2nd, it's a DigiMentors job search workshop. So go to digimentors.link/job search workshop and learn about how to reinvent your job search with tips for finding and landing your next gig with some top experts, including Lutetia Vickery, Mark Oppenheim, my good friend Dean Oppenheim from Hofstra University, Brittany Forgione, director of global communications for Verizon, and Shasta Gomez, I love that name, Director of Talent Strategy and Recruitment for Spectrum Networks. I think it's very reasonably priced. Find this, reinvent your job search, tips for landing, finding and landing your next gig on Friday, October 2nd, and be part of this DigiMentors workshop. Really important. I can't wait to listen in on it, because with this changing economy, none of us ever know what's going to happen out there. But on that note, I wish you all well. Please take care, be well, and mask up and take care of yourselves. Folks, have a great weekend and be well. Thank you very much. Take care, everybody.